what were we looking at as far as Ban's problems last week?
Are there any extra sheets?
Yes.
There's no name on this, so... Yes, that's the one. This appointment. So you have it. And
that's the answer to the question. What were we looking at last week? And it was the topic of disappointment. And we were looking at, plans that are proper. We looked at the situation in the book of Acts. Paul was thinking of going somewhere, but the Lord redirected him to another location, into Macedonia. And plans based on God's promises. And Abraham was promised people. Joseph was promised power. And David was promised a position. But they all had to wait. And some of them didn't even see them in their lifetime. They happened even after that, as the promise of Abraham's people. And of course we saw the numbers grow in the book of Exodus, and so on and so forth. David's rise to power, the position there, that took quite some time to fulfill. And how disappointment is defeated, and how it defeats us. We attempt to make it happen. We try and get ahead of the Lord sometimes. We make our own plans, and we looked at a few examples of those that caused some problems for the individuals. Abraham produced an Ishmael by this process. We react and run the wrong way. As we again look at the life of Abraham, he was promised a new land to move out of the Chaldees. And he came to the land of Canaan. He saw the Canaanites were still there, so he headed down further south and eventually ended up in Egypt, and had to return at a later point. And even we looked at Jeremiah and mistrusting God. So how can we defeat it? And that's where we got to, and we can finish this up today. Trust that God is in control of all circumstances is the answer. He is in control of all circumstances. And believe that God will fulfill His promises. This is sort of a review of the things that we've looked at as far as how problems were created. But God's promises, they are fulfilled. Not one has ever not been fulfilled. And Psalm 37, 1 through 8, maybe we can look at that this morning. Psalm 37, 1 through 8. Maybe we'll start with Carolyn in the back there, and however many verses you would like to take on, read those for us until we get through to the 8th verse.
Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart.
Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the new day. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself, because of him he prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil.
Is that verse 8? Okay. Yeah, so be patient is sort of the last blank there to fill in. Be patient. Our disappointments are His divine appointments. And as we stated last week and in the introduction to this lesson, problems are opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Okay, so let's move on to our next lesson. And I have a handout.
Grab one and hand those around.
And now we can turn over to the book of Exodus. Sort of to start things off, we
it says verses 1 through 11, but we'll read up to verse 12. Are there any extras on this side?
Did everyone get a sheet? Okay. So where'd we leave off? Okay, Rachel's. If you want to start us off. Rachel, Tana, and then if any verses left, we'll go up to Chris at the back there. Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 12. Let's start that off.
But Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto me." And the Lord said unto him, "What is in thy hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thy hand, and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand.
That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, and the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thy hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thy hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it came to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take up the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither therefore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say."
Okay. So, what was Moses shying away from? What was causing him some anguish? Right. So it was the speaking part. And of course, I think I've heard this before, and I don't have exact statistics, but one of the things that causes people the most grief and anguish is public speaking, getting up before people and talking. And so in our fill in the blanks, the condition, the three aspects of inferiority. Oh, yeah, that's my question. Who here has never experienced feeling inferior? I didn't want to ask it the other way, because but if in case anyone has ever not experienced that feeling, I just want to know who that might be, because we would all be interested to know how that's even possible, because I'm sure we all have. So what do you think are some indicators? What sort of makes one suspect that we are feeling inferior? What do you think the condition, anything come to mind as what they might be?
Lack the ability to do something.
Okay, I'll put that under fear of failure. Fear of failure is one of them.
Fear of
Insecurity is another. These are the blanks we're filling in. Inadequacy. A sense of embarrassment. And self-consciousness. So there are some indicators as to inferiority. And if we're experiencing some of those, that we could be in that position. And the heading there, there is much said today about the problem of low self-image or inferiority complex. The condition can be a serious impairment, especially when it limits a person's availability to God. And of course, what's the opposite of inferiority? Pride. So you don't want either one. So in some respects, and I like the way he put that, when it limits a person's availability to God, I mean, it's not that we're not going to go throughout life without experiencing these, but if it is to the degree that it hampers our ability to serve God, then obviously that's going to be a problem. I read this, and I don't know if it's true, and I imagine it is, about Charlie Chaplin once. He was in Monte Carlo, and he entered a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest. The only problem was he came in third. Now think about that for a moment. If you were to enter a look-alike contest, let's say a Charlene McInnes look-alike contest, and you enter it and you come in third, and you figure, well, how is this even possible? I am me. How can I not win my own contest? So whether that was just construed because Charlie Chaplin, you've all heard of him, he was a funny guy, a comic, and so maybe they just made that up, but I have no reason to doubt it, but imagine that for a moment as far as when we're talking about inferiority, you enter a look-alike contest, which is your own look-alike contest, and you don't win it. So that would probably cause some doubt in your mind. Okay, we've done A, 1A. B, inferiority is not humility. Inferiority is not humility.
Can you give me number 4 about that?
Sense of... Oh, sure. Yeah, and I probably did them in the wrong order. But the 5 indicators are insecurity, inadequacy, fear of failure, a sense of embarrassment. Oh, sure. I'll do it again. And self-consciousness. So number 1 is insecurity. Number 2 is inadequacy. Number 3 is fear of failure. Number 4 is a sense of embarrassment. And number 5 is self-consciousness. And part B, inferiority is not humility. And I do have one scripture reference there. I think we ended with Tana. So Mr. Stutters, I'll get you to go to Romans 12:3. And Lisa, I've got Psalm 139:14 as well. If you could look that up for us, please. And someone also mentioned that denying we can accomplish God's work is not humility. I mean, we might be so hampered, like I said at the beginning of this lesson, that this inferiority thing can hamper us so much that we do nothing for God. Well, denying we can accomplish God's work is not humility. So when I went to Bible school, that was one of the jokes going around at that time. I wrote the book, Humility and How I Achieved It. So you know, humility, it's one of those fine balances in life. How do you achieve it? But not doing something when you know you can, you know, that's not humility. But let's find out what it is. Romans 12:3. Chris.
For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Okay. And number 2 there, to think less than we ought, is wrong also. So there seems to be this fine balance, and you might be thinking, okay, well, how can I win here? I, don't want to think more highly of myself than I ought to, but I can also, I cannot think less of myself than I should. And what does Psalm 139:14 say, Lisa?
It says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
Right. So God has made us, and he has made us fearfully and wonderfully. And of course, we can all, the rabbit trail I see here is the whole thing of evolution and how they come up with their theories as to how we got here. And yet when you look at the amazing facts of the human body, I mean, I think I have one of the printouts here on the human eye. I mean, just the eye itself is such a wonderful instrument. And how it's made, and some think that just happened by chance, but we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. So there again is this fine balance, not to think of ourselves less than we ought to think, and not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Okay, internal and external effects. The effects of inferiority: you do not trust yourself. Number two, you do not trust others. And what do you think number three is? Ultimately, you are unable to trust God. So,
well, that sure is a small boy.
I'm sorry? Oh, yeah. Sort of a hint there, but.
Be careful, the typist might come after you.
So as far as this whole aspect of inferiority, yeah, then it starts affecting the things, how you think, what you do. You don't trust yourself, you don't trust others, and ultimately your relationship with God suffers by the same token. Okay, part two, the cause of inferiority. And it's a fear of people. Part A, it's a fear of people. Are you still in Exodus, Tana? Is somebody still in Exodus? Are you? It says 4:1 there, and just refresh my memory on 4:1.
And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee.
Right. They will not believe me. So it's a fear of people. And that's the heading. And of course, after that, of course, God gave him signs as far as, you know, throwing down his rod and it becomes a serpent. And the water turning into blood. And so these were signs. If that was Moses' true argument, you know, they won't believe me, so give me something here, Lord, that they will believe me. And those are pretty miraculous signs, to have an inanimate object like his rod turn into a serpent, and water, clear water, turning into blood. And yet, as we just read from Exodus chapter 4, that argument continued, that Moses still was not confident. He did not want to speak to the people. So the cause, a fear of people. We cannot stand rejection. And of course, the results of that, we're uncomfortable in meeting people and unable to remember names. Now, in my case, I don't think that's inferiority. A large part of the time, it's whatever it is, old age, senility, poor memory. But perhaps inferiority is built into that because my ability to remember names is horrible, is the only way I can put it. So we're too concerned about the impressions we are making and what others are thinking. Okay, top of the next page, part B. Any guesses as to a fear or the next fear? Carolyn touched on it. I'm sorry? Yeah, well, a fear of failure, which is tied into, you know, we usually put our abilities in there. So it's a fear of failure, and the reference there is verse 12. If you could read that for us, Tana.
So therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say.
Yeah. And ultimately, if we follow the story through, what eventually happened with Moses there? Who did God use as far as the spokesperson?
Aaron,
his brother Aaron. So even though we have this whole recording of this conversation between Moses and God, and Moses erecting these barriers, saying, "Nah, not me, Lord, not me. No, don't pick me, anyone but me." And I want some signs. Well, you got the signs, and he's still, no, can't do it. But it's just a fear of failure. I am not eloquent. I am slow of speech. So Moses excused himself based on his weaknesses. And in your notes there, he had real self-confidence 40 years earlier. What caused this attitude? Was it his failure? Of course, he ended up killing someone and then ran for his life. So we wonder if that has an impact on where he is now. And stuttering or halting speech is often caused by a lack of confidence that then develops into a speech pattern. So there's an interesting little note as well. And just some of the fallout from this inferiority thing that's going on. And I don't know of the problems that, next week Pastor Stastny, as he continues in this study, but of the, I think there's about a dozen or so that we're looking at. I don't know if this is number one as far as people are concerned, and maybe it varies from person to person, but as far as an overall one of those problems that we seek to overcome in life, whether this is the biggie, as they say, but this is certainly probably up there as far as ranking goes in terms of the problems that we deal with and the fear that we have. Focusing number two on our past failure or weakness will make present success impossible. And again, we think of Moses, where he rose up to settle a dispute. He killed someone, and then when he discovered that people had witnessed this, he ran for his life and got out of Egypt and over into the land of Midian. So the road to success is paved with failure. Oh, good. Oh, just what we want to hear, eh? Yeah, the road to success is paved with failure. Number B, success is achieved by those who survive their failures. And where did we leave off? Rob read David, 2 Timothy 1:7. If you would look that up for us.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Wow, he's given us things to counteract inferiority. Power, love, and a sound mind. So yes, we are broken, we are fallen, and we need help. And God certainly knows that, and he has provided. So the cure, part number three. Has everyone got their lines filled in? I'm just trying to allow enough time. But stop me if I am going too fast. Cease making A, unfair physical comparisons. And Shalene, 2 Corinthians 10:2, please.
But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh.
Yeah, I had the same look on my face when I read it, but Paul there, actually, what he's expressing is, I want to be bold with you, but I got to tone it down, is sort of what he's saying. And obviously, he had received some criticism that he was operating in the flesh, and he's saying, no, I'm not operating in the flesh, because the war that we are in, this daily war, it may be carnal in nature, but we do not approach it as far as fighting this war in a fleshly manner. And so with this criticism that he received, his impulse, and we have these thought patterns, he wanted to be bold, but he thought it better not to in this particular instance, and as far as how we deal with it. So do not compare in areas you cannot control. A, basic appearance. B, abilities and talents, and those are granted to us by the Lord, and like I say, we have no control over those. They are natural, natural abilities and talents. Our parentage, probably crossed your mind at one point or another when you were a child. I can't choose my parents. But that's just one of the facts of life. Your parentage you cannot control. And your social heritage either, where you were born. I mean, perhaps you have spent time thinking, wonder if I would have been born in Japan, or if I would have been born in Indonesia, or some other country other than where you were born. Whether you've ever crossed that thought. But our surroundings are our surroundings. And yes, we can change them when we grow older. If we don't like where we live, we move, or for whatever reason. There are things that are out of our control. We can spend needless amount of energy making unfair physical comparisons. Well, that's probably a good place to end it, since we won't reach the conclusion of the lesson, and we'll leave that for Pastor Stastny to fill in next week. But again, just some things to think about as far as the answers that God has provided in our living in this world and pursuing those things that will make us more like Him. And of course, that's one of the keys to this, is becoming more like Christ. Okay, let's just close our lesson in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for fearfully and wonderfully making us, and as we seek to be relevant in living our lives, Christian lives, for You, we pray that You would help us to be strong, to do those things that You have asked us to do, and not to hide behind those things that we think we need in order to do those things that You have asked us to do, but You have provided for us. And we thank You for this lesson that we have looked at today as we finished up on our other difficulties and the fact that problems will go with us throughout life, but You are there to counteract and give us the power we need and the love we need to help others. So be with us now, and be with the pastor as he preaches later on, and be with those who are coming. Amen.